Oh, it's a good day for a lot of LSU athletic department members. We'll explain. It's a sad day for many, many members who have followed the Times-Picayune. As it comes to a close, we'll talk to one of their venerable writers here shortly. And it's about to be a big payday for a whole lot as NBA free agency begins on Sunday. We've got soccer, USA versus France. Oh, what a match it could be. All these stories and more. Today, Friday. Oh, yeah, Friday, June 28th, 2019.
And the 3-2 pitch. Swing and a drive in the deep left field. Stewart going back on this. He's turning to look, and this one's out of here. Joey Gallo goes oppo for his second home run of the ballgame, his 19th of the season. He gives Texas a 2-0 lead.
Diaz kicks. Here's the pitch. Swung on. Line deep to left field. McNeil back. Track. Whoa! Game over! A walk-off home run for Gene Segura. Three-run shot in the ninth. It's a sweep for the Phils over the Mets on the first career walk-off homer for Gene Segura.
Here's the pitch. It's one in the air to deep right field. Forget about this one. It's gone. Caratini gives the Cubs the lead. 8-6 here in the fifth.
Nice rhythm. Nice beat. Let's go. Welcome to the Jordy Helfrich Show. Friday edition. How are you? We've got soccer. Team USA versus France. Forget about the politics and the White House and all that. We've got a heck of a soccer match that could really change the complexion of soccer everywhere. We're already into it. 4 minutes into it. It's a far thing from a sure thing for the USA to beat France, but a win against the U.S. would change women's soccer in France forever. So there's a lot riding on the line. And boy, if you head out to Hooters, you can cheer on the U.S. women's soccer team today at 2 p.m. Our half-price happy hour runs from 3 to 6. Half off all 14-ounce drafts, margaritas, and wine by the glass. Happy Friday. Catch all the soccer action at Hooters. And just like that, Team USA has scored. How about that? Right out the gate, early on, they are a juggernaut. And they already have the one-zip lead over France. So good for them. It's quite a day for people like, my gosh, Virge Ausberry. LSU had their Board of Supervisors Athletics Committee meeting today. It was short, it was sweet, and it was productive for many. The 9 items listed on the agenda for the committee, which included an updated role and significant pay raise in pay for Deputy Athletic Director Virge Ausberry, as well as contract extensions for 4 football coaches, including offensive coordinator Steve Ensminger and assistant basketball coach Bill Armstrong. They were all approved without objection within 5 minutes. Virge, let's go to dinner, because already, in addition to his title as LSU's Deputy Athletics Director, which he's held since 2015, Ausberry will now serve the role of Executive Director of External Relations for the university. That role nearly doubles his salary to $500,000 immediately, and it will grow to $525,000 by the end of the 6-year stint. Athletic Director Scott Woodward, I couldn't be more happy. I've known Virge for 20 years and worked with him. I have the utmost respect and confidence in him. I'm looking forward to having him on our team. Steve Ensminger, strength and conditioning coach Tommy Moffitt, offensive line coach James Craig, special teams coach Greg McMahon, assistant basketball coach Bill Armstrong, and co-head men's tennis coaches Andy and Chris Brandy all had extensions. Now, Ensminger's new deal will keep him with LSU through March 31st, 2021, and his salary will remain at $800,000. Look, this is all about continuity. This is all about continuing along the path that LSU's been in. They're on a roll. They've been successful. They won 10 games, a bowl game. They finished sixth in the country in football. They win the SEC title. They are into the NCAA tournament. Yes, they had some things happen at the end that kind of took it off course, but they're good to go. Baseball. So this is good. As Scott Woodward said, we just wanted to make sure that we got our amendments and extensions and our housekeeping in order with the board. We want to continue the continuity that we have to be successful coming off this successful year and have continued success moving forward. So good housekeeping for the LSU Tigers, and a great day. Verge, let's talk, big guy. Let's talk. That's pretty good. I'd just like to have your salary doubled like that. Pretty sweet. Pretty sweet. It's like my daughter had back surgery, and after the four-hour procedure, she grew nearly 3 inches. I mean, that's exciting. It's like cutting grass. You see immediate results, right? Immediate results. So let me tell you what we have in store for you and yours today, 9 minutes after the hour. I mean, I'm from New Orleans. I grew up back when I was a kid. There was the Times-Picayune in the morning, and there was the States Item in the afternoon. The States Item went away, but the Times-Picayune lived on. And it was as much a fabric of that city as anything else. Mardi Gras, red beans and rice on Monday, Saints on a Sunday, and the Times-Picayune every day of the week. Well, the Georges family, I know John Georges very well, went to school, went to the same school together. They have bought that out, and today is the end of it. So many really great writers, so many that brought that most European of United States cities to the forefront each and every day is coming to an end. And I grew up racing to get the paper in the morning before my dad would get it, because the first thing we both wanted to read was the sports page. And when I was a kid, Pete Finney, may he rest in peace, was the guy that you loved to read. His columns were spectacular. And growing up, you wanted to be in the paper. And I remember the first time there were headlines up with my name in it. Lordy, Lordy, can anybody stop Jordy? Back in my high school days, that was like monumental. If you ever got your picture in the paper, my God, you had arrived. It just meant that much to that community. It just did. And now it's gone. And a lot of people are out there wondering what the next step will be. We will talk with the nearest thing to Pete Finney I can think of, and he's a friend of the program. We've had him on many times, but Jeff Duncan will share some memories of kind of the golden era. When he came, boy, that's when, for LSU purposes, Jerry DiNardo's reign was coming to an end. Nick Saban started, and the rest is history. With the Saints, it was the coming on of Sean Payton and Drew Brees, and the rest is history. And I guess the question is, on basketball's front, is can Zion Williamson do in New Orleans what Pistol Pete, CP3, and AD never could? Can he make New Orleans and Louisiana truly, truly care about professional basketball long term? Can it become a sustainable entity? He's never even bounced the ball yet. Never has. We'll share some of the stories of basketball in the Big Easy when we return. I've got a busy day for you. So we got Jeff Duncan, hour number one. George Becknell, after Hot Topics, we'll talk a little bit of this and that. And then Henry Hayes will get some predictions on free agency, which begins Sunday, June 30th at 5 p.m. Where is Kawhi Leonard going to go? What about Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving? Those are the three headliners, but there's so much more. What about Kemba Walker? Does he stay in Charlotte or does he head somewhere else? What about Jimmy Butler? Does he stay in Philly or does he go somewhere else? And what in the Sam Hill do the Pelicans do? And will they have a deal in place at 5:01 on Sunday? Or are they going to let the freeding frenzy begin and then them wait and see what lies in the weeds at better value? If I had to bet, that's what David Griffin's going to do. But we shall see. This is, and I really believe this. I wish this could happen. The NFL draft on television is such a big success. The NBA draft on television is a big success. They would all pale in comparison if there were somehow, some way, someone far smarter than I could figure out a way to put free agency on television. And you have, instead of the top 10 kids coming into the league, you have the top 10 players that are in the league that are making changes. And you bring them up one after one and you say, Kawhi Leonard, where will you be playing basketball next year? And Kawhi Leonard will say, I'm going to be taking my talents to whatever. Now, do you think that would draw some attention? Oh, my. It would be a ratings bonanza. I don't think it's possible to do so, but it would be great if you could. And why couldn't you? Nothing's impossible if they figured out a way to put free agency on television Sunday night, prime time. Oh, my gosh. It would be spectacular. I think. Tell me if I'm wrong. 337-706-0111. 337-706-0111. Maybe CD can put it up on a poll. You know how to do all that stuff. Would free agency on television be a hit? Yes or no? And we'll see what happens. We'll run the poll. Everybody else does one. I never do one, but let's do one. CD, you can take care of that for me, big guy?
Yeah, I'll take care of that for you.
Would you watch it? Would you be
intrigued? That's really an interesting point of view. I would definitely probably wind up watching it, though.
So, yeah, man, Kevin Durant walks up. Nobody knows where he's going except his agent and the team. It's kind of like the NBA draft. Everybody knows they've already been in the back room. So Alvin Gentry and David Griffin already knew they had the number one pick before the envelope was even open. They knew. They had to keep a straight face. They had to be actors. So why not? I think it would be an absolute hit. Anyway, we'll see. All right, when we come back, we'll get things rolling. Can Zion do in New Orleans what Pistol, Pete, and CP3 and AD couldn't do? And that is make it sustainable. Professional basketball, long term. History lesson coming your way next. The Jordy Helfberg Show. 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
Topics and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Helfberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station. 1037 The Game.
Welcome back. Hey, how about breathing easier? And to do that, you need to use ducts. You know, the National Air Duct Cleaners Association suggests having your HVAC system cleaned regularly. Not only will this help keep your property safe, but it'll also protect the health of you and your loved ones. By removing debris, dirt, and grime from the system, you can improve air quality, you can reduce allergens, and you can enhance energy usage. So turn to the professional technicians at Dux for fast, reliable service tailored to your needs. The Dux team is passionate about what they do, and it shows in the quality of our work. You can improve air quality by contacting us today. Ducts, cleaning America's air from the inside out. Pistol Pete drew sizable crowds to the Superdome when he played for the New Orleans Jazz from 1974 to 79, but the franchise couldn't take advantage of Pistol Pete's draw, and after five seasons, the Jazz moved to Utah. The NBA returned to the Big Easy in 2002. Jamal Mashburn led the New Orleans Hornets, who had relocated from Charlotte, and they won 47 games and finished just three games shy of the best record in the Eastern Conference. But the first three seasons in New Orleans, though, brought about three different head coaches. And I did all the coaches' shows with them and talked to them every day. Started off with Paul Silas. Then it went to Tim Floyd. Ouch. And then Byron Scott. And the franchise bottomed out with an 18-win season in 2004-2005. 18, when you talk about torture, trying to come up with anything positive on an 18-win season. Well, that 18 wins brought Chris Paul the fourth pick in the 2005 NBA draft, and CP3 brought some energy, brought some enthusiasm. But despite the turmoil that was brought on by Hurricane Katrina, the franchise was on a roll. But each and every day, it was always, what's going on with ownership? What's happening? It never seemed to be a smoothly run operation, despite the Hornets then winning a franchise best 56 wins in the 2007-2008 season, a Southwest Division title, and the second best record in the Western Conference. The Hornets would lose in seven games, the seventh game at home in what is now the Smoothing King Center. Back then it was the New Orleans Arena, to defending NBA champ San Antonio in the second round of the playoffs. Shortly after, George Shinn decided to sell the team, but he couldn't find a buyer. Nobody thought basketball in New Orleans was a wise investment. So afraid of a PR disaster, after allowing the Seattle Supersonics to move to Oklahoma City, the NBA stepped in, bought the team for $300 million. David Stern was the owner, along with all the other owners of running the franchise. Chris Paul was like, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. I want out of here. And he forced a trade. But NBA Commissioner David Stern vetoed the trade to the Lakers, later approved one to the Clippers prior to the start of the 2011-2012 season. Needless to say, the Hornets struggled that year to a conference-worst 21-win season. Well, 10 days after Anthony Davis led Kentucky to the 2012 National Championship, where? In the Superdome, Saints owner Tom Benson purchased the Hornets to keep them in New Orleans. And several weeks later, the Hornets won the NBA lottery and the right to select Davis with the number one overall pick. That was an exciting time. Oh, yeah. Professional basketball fans in New Orleans and the Gulf Coast were elated. But it didn't last. Even though the team changed the name to the Pelicans in the 2013-14 season, the on-court product continued to suffer because, God bless him, Dell Demps just couldn't surround Davis with the right supporting cast. Try as he might, bad contracts, bad players, it just didn't happen. And Davis blossomed into one of the top five players in all of basketball. But the franchise managed to make the playoffs just twice in his six seasons. A lot of it was the franchise's fault. A lot of it was the fact that Anthony Davis isn't that alpha dog. He is Robin to a Batman. He just is. And that's no affront to him. That doesn't make him a bad person. He's a great talent, but he needs help. He needs somebody else to have the ball and find him. So, all the bad luck, all the bad timing, all the bad injuries, all the bad front office decisions all played a part in Anthony Davis' decision to demand a trade in January despite 1 year left on his contract. But a funny thing happened. Since Davis demanded the trade, the Pelicans have transformed themselves into a franchise with one of the brightest futures in the league. It's undeniable. Gail Benson, who took over as owner following the death of her husband in 2018, all of a sudden became engaged in the franchise. Wait a minute. We own two teams. We got to keep them separate and apart. Out went Demps. In came David Griffin. The Pelicans win the NBA draft lottery. They get Zion Williamson. They sell 3,000 season ticket packages immediately following the draft lottery. And days before the draft, Griffin trades Davis to the Lakers, desperate Lakers, in a trade that really should allow New Orleans to surround Zion with the type of a supporting cast that Davis never had, except for a few months when he teamed up with Jrue Holiday and DeMarcus Cousins before Cousins tore his Achilles. And then Griffin makes more trades and gets more draft picks and even more salary cap room. Thousands of Pelican fans turn out for the draft party on Fulton Street. That's not the type of a scene that you see for a basketball team. That's the type of a scene that when the Saints win a Super Bowl, or when Rex is coming down Canal Street and it's Mardi Gras season. Not basketball. Are you kidding me? The excitement of Zion Williamson has percolated till the coffee's coming out the pot. And it's going to continue until the start of the NBA season. So will Zion do what Pistol Pete and CP3 and Anthony Davis couldn't do? I don't know if he's ever going to make this. He's not going to make the Pelicans more popular than the Saints, like some have predicted. But he's given pro basketball fans in this state a hope. A lot of hope. Expectations are high. But so too is the enthusiasm. And when you have enthusiasm equal with expectations, that is great. And that's for the first time since they were the Charlotte Hornets and then became the New Orleans Hornets and now the New Orleans Pelicans. Wow. That beams excitement. Sad day, though, as the Times-Picayune and NOLA.com coming to a close. We'll talk to my favorite writer next on the Jordy Helfrich Show. 103.7 The Game. 1037thegame.com.
Never play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Hultberg Show. Live and local. 1037 The Game.
What's up, man? Ah, the great sounds are so familiar with the great city that is New Orleans. And when you think of New Orleans, you think of Mardi Gras, you think of Jazz Fest, you think of the New Orleans Saints. And I always think of Monday Red Beans and Rice and the Times-Picayune. Well, the Times-Picayune is changing. Ownership is changing, much as it did back in 1962. Now it's in the hands of the Georges family. And that means things are changing for so many of their terrific, terrific writers who have brought the pulse of that city to the people of the city. And one of my favorites, and I will start off the conversation by this. I grew up, as I said earlier, when there were two papers in town. They had the Times-Picayune in the morning and the Stateside in the afternoon. I grew up reading columns written by Pete Finney, and he was an award winner, one of the best in the business. Our next guest is the closest thing to Pete Finney I ever read. And I mean that in the greatest of terms. I think he is terrific, and I'm going to miss his columns in the Times-Picayune. But Jeff Duncan's been a friend of mine, a friend of our program, and we are greatly appreciated. And, God, it's got to be a bittersweet day today. You wrote your last column, nearly 30, maybe 4,000 columns that you've written, and today was your last. What's going through your mind and your heart right now, Jeff?
Well, thanks for the kind words, Jordy. That means a lot. I do really appreciate everybody reading all the years. You know, I mean, no one had to read. Certainly you have a lot of things to do with your free time, so it always means a lot when people invest the time to read. So I do appreciate everyone out there and all the kind thoughts that have come my way today. Look, it's an emotional time. There's no doubt about it. Writing that column was very emotional for me, realizing just how long I've been here. You know, the time kind of slips away from you as you, we all have our heads down working away, and then you look up and you realize you've been here 2 decades and worked with a lot of incredibly talented, dedicated people, you know, covered some incredible events, really privileged and honored to been able to, you know, be in the position that I've been in for the past 20 years. I mean, a lot of people would love to have been in that seat, you know, so I don't take that for granted at all. And it's just been a remarkable ride. I can't say it any other way. It's been beyond my wildest expectations coming here in 1999. I was living in Baton Rouge covering LSU, Jerry DiNardo's last season, and thought that's what I'd be doing for the rest of my career. And lo and behold, like 6 months later, I'm moving to New Orleans. I'm jumping on the Saints beat, and everything just kind of was a whirlwind after that.
Jeff Duncan, 1999, boy, you came. Timing is everything. And you could have been there like in 89, and it would have been torturous. But you get there in 99, and things start to jettison upward for LSU. And, of course, things start to jettison upward for the New Orleans Saints. I mean, I don't know if there's a better era that you have participated in where both of those entities that are so powerful within not only the city of New Orleans but the state of Louisiana seem to rise in unison together.
Yeah, well put. And it's been remarkable to see it happen, and we see it all over the place now. I mean, we saw here recently with the reaction to Zion Williamson on draft night on Fulton Street, that turnout. We see it all the time when I go cover LSU home games. The stadiums have expanded all across campus. You go to the Tiger Walk, it's incredible, the passion and the following that LSU has had as they have, you know, won national titles and again become a national power. And the same for the Saints. I mean, there's no comparison to the Saints coverage now and how high profile that organization is. When I started covering, I know I sound like my father, you know, back in the days, but I mean, there literally would be like a handful of reporters at practice every day. And now in an off-season practice, there might be 50 to 75 media members there. It's mind-boggling.
Jeff Duncan, kind enough to join us. You had front row center stage to some of the greatest sporting events that anyone that loves sports could ever dream of having. And yet, I bet in my heart of hearts that the thing you'll remember the most had nothing to do with sports, but it had to do with a community that was devastated by a hurricane. And take me back to those days and what some of those stories were like for you.
Well, you're right. I mean, that was definitely the pinnacle of my journalism career. Obviously, it was a tragedy, catastrophe. Man-made catastrophe, let me emphasize that. But, you know, it's journalism, really, we never have off. I mean, we're always working wherever the story is. And hurricane coverage is just part of our, responsibility is in the news media in the Gulf South. I mean, it's not just the Times-Picayune, it's everyone in the Gulf South is used to covering hurricanes. I had not experienced much of that in my career until I got to New Orleans and kind of had been coached up about how to cover a hurricane, but we all rode out the storm like so many other Times-Picayune employees have done in past hurricanes. And then you just, you know, once it passed through, we all knew how the potential for this storm, how big it was. I can distinctly remember trying to go out at 2 o'clock on Monday and we couldn't really get out. The winds were still too strong. The gusts were too strong, and we finally got out around, I'd say an hour before dusk and tried to report. And by that time, we found out the levees had breached. And it really, it was after we'd evacuated to Baton Rouge. We of course, evacuated the next morning on in our delivery trucks because they were the only things high enough to get through all the flooded water and flooded streets in New Orleans. And got back into the city, Jordy, probably a day later, and just it all is kind of a blur now, that those 6 weeks, but just some remarkable reporting. I think the thing that stands out to me the most from that time was I got the assignment a couple weeks later when Rita came back through and of course, hit the Gulf Coast again.
Yes.
And I had the front page assignment for the Sunday Times-Picayune. And, you know, we weathered that storm. We had moved down to the Sheraton Hotel, our entire, like, news bureau mm-hmm. that was covering the storm was all in the Sheraton. Wrote it out in that building, and then I got out to go drive around and try to, you know, report on what happened. And I just drove from, I remember mm-hmm. driving out to 17th Street Canal and drove all over the city, Jordy, and I didn't see another human being for miles and miles and miles, and I just realized this is never going to happen again in the history of America. God, I hope it doesn't. Where in a major American city has basically been completely evacuated. The only people that were left were military, you know, a few journalists, some first responders, but there were nobody left because by that time everyone had all the holdouts, even after Katrina had been ordered to leave. And it was just you hear the word surreal a lot, and I think it's overused, but it certainly was the case there where block after block, neighborhood after neighborhood was completely empty. It was almost apocalyptic. Cause I don't think it'll ever happen again in our country's lifetime.
I'm glad you said a man-made catastrophe, because that's exactly what it was. But you're doing all this work, and you don't know if anybody's seeing it or reading it or hearing it. I mean, you know what I mean? Nobody's there.
No, I know. It was amazing. I remember getting up one morning near Audubon Park. We were hunkered down in a colleague's spouse's house, and we were hunkered down near Audubon Park. I got up one morning, and there was National Guard military marching in unison down the street of Uptown New Orleans.
Scary.
You know, one of the historic neighborhoods. And they were putting up basically a bivouac in Audubon Park. There was going to be military in Audubon Park for days. You know, that just was crazy, crazy scene. And
I can't fathom.
The thing is,
yeah.
Well, the other thing that stood out was driving down Laurel Street to downtown where the nerve center was at Harrah's. And unfortunately, there was a citizen of Uptown who had passed away and had been wrapped up and laid on a park bench on the front porch of the shotgun house, and a little sign up with a prayer. And that body laid there for, I think it was over a week, like 10 days on the front porch.
Mm.
You know, just seems like that you'll never forget them.
Never forget it. Never forget them. Oh, we'll never forget the writings of Jeff Duncan, kind enough to join us. Back to sports. You've seen national championships from LSU. You've seen with baseball and football. You've seen the Saints win a Super Bowl. You've seen the reopening of the Superdome itself on that night, that famed night against the Atlanta Falcons. Anything above and beyond all the rest that stands out to you from all the great things that you've seen?
Well, I think you named a couple of them. I think the reopening of the Dome, well, I don't know if that night will ever be topped in New Orleans, just for events in New Orleans, because it was so much bigger than sports. And, you know, I think the fact that Steve Gleason, someone who I've since grown very close to, the fact that he had that moment of all people to deserve that moment, I think it was appropriate that it was Steve Gleason. And I just remember the moment in the locker room. After I'd filed my column, because we were on such a tough deadline that night, I didn't get to go down and get quotes. Someone ran down and got quotes for me, that very common thing on deadline like that. Mm-hmm. Gathered quotes. Mm-hmm. I got quotes from Steve in my story, and then filed my story. And then I went down, and he was still in the locker room. And, you know, very few people left. And I just had a moment with him talking about what had happened. And Steve, you know, didn't need – he was such a smart guy, still is, obviously – he knew right away that he had accomplished something great. You know, a lot of times it takes time, or you have to get distance from it to have the perspective on it. But Steve knew right then that he'd done something magical, and that it was going to be a moment in history. And it meant so much to him, you know, as a role player, a special team standout, to have had that in his career, a guy that was always kind of on the edge of the roster. That was just a great moment, interviewing him and seeing what it meant to him, and the culmination of that incredible evening with so many eyeballs on New Orleans, so many celebrities there, and U2 and Green Day playing, just, and presidents were there. It was an amazing night.
Yeah. Just and as you said, it was so much more than a football game. It was a city clinging to hope, right? And their beloved son came. It was like the prodigal son came home, to put it in that terms. It basically was that way. It was such a cathartic moment for everyone. And I remember crying watching the game on television. I didn't want to go. I couldn't go down in the world. I had too many things going on. But I remember seeing that play and tears forming and coming down my face. It was just, I'll never forget that, ever.
No. And I would say also, the Super Bowl was an incredible moment as well. Being there, and my favorite part of it was sitting next to Pete Finney, who you mentioned earlier, who was a mentor of mine, someone I always looked up to, a legend in our profession and in our city. And knowing that he had seen more Saints games and covered more Saints games than anyone, and he'd seen a lot of bad Saints teams, and filing my Super Bowl column, sitting next to him, someone that meant so much to me, and knowing what it meant to Peter, that was a special night, and we had a chance to celebrate afterwards, and I just, that was a magical, evening, seeing the celebrations in New Orleans. As we were in Miami that night, we had an after party, our whole staff, because we had about 20, 30 people there from the Times-Picayune, and looking on ESPN that night and seeing the mob scenes in the French Quarter, I mean, just, what a great special moment for journalists to be able to cover something that was such a big story for our city. Very, very honored and privileged to have that kind of opportunity.
I've got to ask you, life goes on. You will go on. You've still got an awful lot left in you. Do we know where the future is next for you, Jeff Duncan?
Not yet. I mean, I can tell you I do have some options that I'm sorting through. And hopefully it will allow me to stay in New Orleans. I mean, that's been my goal. I've fallen in love with the state of Louisiana, the city of New Orleans. Spent most of my career here. I can't imagine working anywhere else, and so I'm really hopeful that in the next few weeks I can finalize something and be able to announce something that would keep me in the city and kind of doing some of the stuff that I love here, because it really has been storybook for me. I never envisioned this type of career or this type of opportunity that I've been granted. And certainly don't want to leave this remarkable state. I mean, it's such a remarkable place to work. And people are so passionate here. Sports, they love sports. There's never any in between with the fans here. And I love that. There's no more passionate fans in America than in the state of Louisiana. And it's just a special place to work. And I hope I can continue doing that.
If I could ask you four things in your time from 1999 to now, when I mention the word New Orleans, what are four things that come to mind right away?
Well, I mean, obviously food. I've learned to love the food a little too much. I've learned that you have to run every night now, Jordy, to keep the food from building up on my body, because I'm not going to live in New Orleans and not enjoy this incredible food. The culture here is unlike anywhere else in the world. I love that we live in a completely unique state and city. And when I travel, and I'm sure it's the same for you, people find out you're from New Orleans, Louisiana, they immediately are interested. It's a destination place to live, so I feel very fortunate there. And look, I've learned to appreciate the unique charms and the distinct cultural history of this place. I mean, 300 years old. When I go to Europe, I understand now New Orleans so much better. You can see the history reflected in our architecture here, and in our food and our cuisine. And I think more than anything, though, just the amount of interesting, smart, eccentric, eclectic people that live here. I mean, people that live in Louisiana live for a reason. Let's face it, we're basically in a swamp. there's mosquitoes and it's hot as hell like it is today. You stay indoors. Yeah. It's not an easy place to live. Sometimes when I take off on a flight, I look down, I'm thinking, who thought this was a good place to put a city in the middle of this water? But you live here because you get it, right? You understand what a unique place it is. And if you don't get it, you don't get it. But most people I know that get it are very, very exceptional people. And it's just, I've never lived any place as interesting as this. So hopefully I can continue to do it here.
Well, I hope so. Again, I love your work. I love your passion. You have, look, I'm from New Orleans, born and raised. And, you know, I live in Baton Rouge. I do a radio show in Lafayette and around the city and around the world. And I still have my roots. I still always love coming back to New Orleans. It's a special town with special people. And if you're one of them, man, you're one of them. And if you're not, you'll know real, real quick. I still eat my red beans and rice every morning. But I pray that that you get to stay there, and I pray that we get to continue to read your stuff. Again, you're the closest thing to Pete Finney I've ever seen, and I mean that in the greatest of terms, because Pete and I were good friends, and I loved his work. I told him when he retired, I told him the same thing. He will be missed, and if you're not here, you will be greatly missed. So I hope and pray that you do not leave here so that we will not miss you. But I always appreciate your time. I wish you nothing but the best. And thanks for 20 years of great work. Really do appreciate it.
Jordy, thank you again. It means a lot, and hopefully I'll be around. Hopefully it won't be, as I said in the call, hopefully it's not goodbye. It's a see you later.
All right. Spell Chapatulas for me.
You wouldn't put me on the spot. Typical. Typical here. Chapatulous. I think that's right. I could just
you
walk
got
down
it.
The corner.
You win the prize. Go have a free meal. Go have a free meal on me at Clancy's, all right?
I'll do it, buddy. Thanks for having me on. You've been a lot to me over the years, and hopefully we can do it again soon, bud.
We will see you soon, my friend. Thank you very much. Jeff Duncan, what great memories and great stories up close and personal. A sports writer, and took us all through Katrina and beyond. Terrific. We'll be back. Wrap up hour number one next.
The Blonde Bomber is back and better than ever as you are locked into the Jordy Hultberg Show on 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com, and on the app.
Up here, got a little long-winded, but why not? Jeff Duncan deserved it. 20 years of phenomenal writing. One zip, Team USA over France. We're at halftime, 45 minutes to go. Stay undefeated in the World Cup, hopefully. LSU right-hander Cole Henry named second-team freshman All-American today by D1 Baseball. So suffered some injuries here and there, but the future looks bright for the product of Florence, Alabama. Hour number two coming your way shortly. Hot topics with my main man, CD. George Becknell will join us. We'll talk a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And then Henry Hayes will and I will break down NBA free agency. Where's Kawhi, KD, Kyrie, Kemba? It's a bunch of Ks, man. Kyrie, Kemba, KD, Kawhi. It's the K free agency day coming up on Sunday at 5 p.m. And what happens to the Pelicans? What are they going to do? We'll see. Busy second hour. 1 hour down. 1 hour to go till the weekend. This is the Jordy Hultberg Show. We're on Acadiana's number one sports station. 103.7 The Game. 103.7thegame.com. Did you survive that rainstorm? I had no power for many, many hours. Woo! You talk about finding out what it's all about. Don't have any power. Ugh. But we survived. And we're going to be back for hour number two after this.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Tigers pulled off another miracle.
This is Acadiana Sports Station, 1037 The Game.
Touchdown, New Orleans!
Streaming live on the 1037 The Game mobile app and online at 1037thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won!
This is the Jordy Hultberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Hultberg.
Hey, here we go. Hour number two on this Friday, June 28th, the year 2019, CD. In the 237 Roof Studios, yours truly, Studio 1A. Busy second hour. Athlon Sports listed its top non-conference football games for this upcoming season. I'll give you the top five, starting at number five. Texas A&M at Clemson. Ooh, September the 7th. How about that one? On October 26th at number four, Notre Dame at Michigan. Number three, September 21st, Notre Dame at Georgia. The Fighting Irish shopping between the hedges. At number two, August 31st, Oregon at versus Auburn in Arlington, Texas. And according to Athlon Sports, the number one non-conference matchup of the season, September 7th, LSU at Texas, with this following written. The quote, Texas is back, close quote, punchline, doesn't seem so funny after the way the Longhorns finished the 2018 season. Head coach Tom Herman thinks his team is close to being a major player once again. Meanwhile, in Baton Rouge, Ed Orgeron has exceeded the expectations most had for him. The two programs will meet up early on in the season, with the winner positioning themselves nicely in every major poll to follow. Agree? Agree. With that in mind, we do it every day at this time of day. Let's take our daily walk around the sports water cooler. CD, if you don't mind. Button, please.
It's Friday. That means we get you ready for the weekend ahead with five.
One, two, three, four, five.
Big questions headed into your weekend. Now, let's get it going with your Friday 5 edition of Hot Topics.
All right. Friday, that means five. CD, get us going, big guy. What you got?
Oh, Jordy, I got something that might be absolutely mouthwatering. We're talking about some hot topics, Jordy. Starting things off, the MLB is taking their show over across the pond to foggy London Town for a three-game set between two of the most iconic teams in the history of Major League Baseball. That is, obviously, the Boston Red Sox and the New York Yankees, Jordy. And they're putting up all kinds of ridiculous concoctions. But I think the biggest highlight, Jordy, like, we're talking about some ridiculous stuff. In fact, this is probably the coolest one of them all. The boomstick, Jordy. It's a two-foot-long hot dog. Let me kind of run this down for you. Braised beef, American chili. It's covered in that. Jalapeno cheese sauce, tomato and chili relish, spring onions, and jalapenos. This is something coming directly from the Texas Rangers franchise. They're bringing a lot of stuff over there. Some other highlights include, sticking with boomstick, the boomstick nachos, 2 feet of corn tortilla chips with braised beef chili. And it's kind of the same ingredients, but instead of a hot dog, it's tortilla chips. That sounds positively delightful. A lot of other things kind of going on this weekend.
That's awesome.
But my goodness, Jordy.
That's awesome. That's just, but wait a minute.
Wait a minute. Hook that up.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. 2 foot long. That's great. Come down to Nolens and get the 82-inch Zion Popeye's fried chicken.
Is that still
chicken
for sale, Jordy?
That's what I'm talking about. Nah, if we ask, why not? You're going to go big. Yeah. Let's go big.
Do it big,
feet.
Jordy.
Come on. What's 82? 82 inches. What is that? 6 feet.
Yeah.
Come on. Whatever. 7. Yeah. I mean, come on. Almost 7 feet.
Just ridiculous amount of wingspan, Jordy.
2 feet.
Hey, 2 feet. Yeah, a 2 foot long hot dog. That's
a bird.
Good.
Yeah. Not me, man. Not me. Give me the 82-inch yard bird. That's what I want.
Oh, I don't blame you at all, Jordy. I would love to kind of chow down on that. Because it's not
your favorite piece. What's your favorite piece of the chicken?
Oh, boy.
Is it the wing? Is it the thigh? Is it the breast? Is it the leg? What is it?
I'm a big fan. I'm a big
now you got me hungry thinking food.
Trust me, Jordy, I'm in the same exact boat. I'd probably wind up going with the chicken breast. But more importantly, Jordy, it's got to be the skin, because especially Popeye skin. You're talking about, you might as well stick with that. That is some phenomenal stuff right there.
I'm the wing, then the thigh, then the leg, and I'm last the breast. I tell you what, that crispy, ooh, and that biscuit, yum. Okay, enough of this.
Yeah. I'm about to say, we're going to be spending the next 7 minutes talking like food, and I feel like that's just more than enough food
talk. I'm okay
with
that. I'm okay.
I can about imagine, Jordy, But, Jordy, moving over, kind of some reports coming out about one NFL team. That's the Dallas Cowboys, potentially, execs saying Ezekiel Elliott must be the top priority for the franchise over Prescott and Amari Cooper. Is this the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard? Like, putting the running back over the quarterback, especially a quarterback that feels like he could be a star quarterback to get this team out of the doldrums like they've been in the past.
And I love what Elliott brings to the table. You know, he's always feeding himself, right? Keep feeding me, and I'll keep feeding you. I can see where Dallas is going there. I really can. But, man, they've got their mini version of what they used to have in the triplets with Aikman, Emmitt Smith, and Irvin. Well, they got a good receiver. Cooper's really good. Elliott's really good. I guess the jury's still out on Prescott. Is he going to be a Troy Aikman or not? If I'm Dallas, I do everything I can to keep all three of them, whatever it takes.
Oh, of course. I think that's the ideal thing, is to be able to try and keep all three of these guys. But it feels weird that you're putting the priority of Zeke Elliott, a guy who's had noted problems, and you're going to wind up risking that over trying to make sure you get your boy, get your star quarterback locked up first. Right. I feel like that's priority uno.
Especially in modern football, where it's spread, it's get rid of the, you know, throw the football. But Dallas likes that old school stuff. I don't blame him. Elliott's really good. If his mind's right and stays out of trouble, he's really, really good. So we'll see.
Exactly, Jordy. And, you know, one thing we didn't necessarily talk about during Hot Topics yesterday, I feel like just kind of bring it up right now, is obviously LeBron James and Anthony Davis, best of friends. Anthony Davis declined his $4 million trade kicker, largely because Space Jam 2 check coming up.
Yeah.
That's coming up down the line, Jordy.
Exactly.
And also, you have LeBron James handing over number 23 to Anthony Davis on a silver platter, and LeBron James immediately going back to the six like he was back in the day of the Heat. You surprised with him going with number six? Couldn't he have gone with another number?
I think LeBron probably cut a deal with the Lakers. Look, I get some of the percentage of the jersey sales, so it's a new jersey. Kobe did the jersey flip as well. Eh, what the heck? Yeah, maybe LeBron thinks it's going to bring him good karma, and maybe he'll win a championship with the Lakers. He won one with the Heat, won one with the Cleveland. This will be the third franchise. Has anybody ever done that? I don't think so. In NBA history, I don't think anybody's won an NBA title with three different teams. So, unless it's Robert Horry, but I can't remember him. I mean, he did it with San Antonio. He did it with the Lakers. Did he do it with Houston? Maybe Horry did. I don't know. But anyway, who cares, right? 6-23. Just win.
Yeah, you were right, Jordy. Robert Horry is one of two players to have won championships with three teams. The other one, of all people, you guessed it, John Sally.
Sally. Oh, my God.
I haven't heard that name in a long time, since, like, back in the days, like Fox Sports used to have that show with Tom Arnold. That's the last time I heard that guy's name.
Last time I saw John Sally was in some movie, and he was a tech geek, and he had Coke bottle rim glasses, and he was helping, I think it was with Will Smith and... What was that movie called where they're the cops in Miami?
Oh, Bad Boys?
Bad Boys. He was in the movie Bad Boys, yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Like I said, that was around that same time frame.
Back to me eventually.
But still,
I stayed in that hotel where they... I stayed in the hotel where they filmed that when I was with the Hornets.
Nice.
Now, they don't spend that... You know, they cut deals with NBA teams. Yeah. But the nightly rate there was $850.
Yeah.
$850 one night. Boom.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
But Jordy,
for a hotel room, $850, please.
It's insane,
okay,
man.
Go ahead.
Let's see what's going on with him. But one person that's still remaining popular even after his time in the spotlight kind of wrapped up is Jeopardy James, making a lot of run as of late, because He's in the World Series of Poker. The man already won $2 million. The dude's trying to just completely take over the world with the amount of money he's racking up. And who knows what could happen with him. Because he's definitely a gambler at heart. It's great to see him kind of in the field that he loves to be in after making a big opportunity in Jeopardy.
Good luck to him. I mean, good luck. He won a bunch of money, so he can certainly pay the entry fee to get into the deal. And we'll see how far he can go against. I love that stuff with the glasses and and as soon as they all stand up, and it's crazy. God bless him.
Oh, it's wild, Jordy. It is nothing. There's nothing else like it. Oh, wow. This kind of just popped up, Jordy. Breaking news. David Onyemata suspended one game for violating the NFL substance of abuse policy. Ooh. This just kind of came up recently. But at least it's just one game. I'm just kind of glad it's one game. He's not necessarily a integral part of the team, but it's just not exactly ideal. One more, Jordy, before we get out of here. Team USA up 1-0 currently in the second half. Do they hold on to win?
Yes, they hold on to win, and take all the politics out of it. They're really, really good. So
they are fantastic.
Matchup against France, up 1-0. Yeah, they are really, really good. I've got a very special on this day in sports history for you. So come on, stick around. I know you are. I got a special one for you, just for you, because of all the hard work that you put in through the course of the week. You're going to love it. There's your Hot Topics for the day, brought to you by Cajun Chef Hot Sauce. Do yourself a flavor. Bring a small bottle of Cajun Chef Hot Sauce with you wherever you go. Everything tastes better with Cajun Chef on it. First CD, George Bechdel joins me next.
There's only one place you'll find all of the movers, the shakers, and Tigers newsmakers. And it's right here on the Jordy Hilfiger Show on 103.7 The Game.
Friday, free agency. It kind of rhymes, kind of works, because Sunday at 5 o'clock, the NBA free agency period opens up, and we got to bring in my buddy on Friday, George Bechdel, for a little diss and a little dat. George, how are you, and are you ready, my friend?
Jordan, I'm fantastic, man. I can't wait. How you doing?
first off, AD waived his $4 million deal. The Lakers have more cap room, and now LeBron's given up his jersey number 23, to AD. Welcome to the family, right? What's up with that?
I mean, well, you know, there was a couple of things. You know, obviously LeBron James is the second greatest player ever to wear number 23, so he might as well just give it up. Second of all, you know, that's a good gesture, you know, to make it seem like a family, like you said, and to see that L.A. is a welcoming place. The Lakers are welcoming for another big-time free agent. Those guys are recruiting like Coach O right now, Jordan. That's what's going on, and they're trying to do all the right things to make it seem more attractive than what it really is to go out there and play with the Lakers.
Player, that's three players. Who else are they going to fill the roster with? They have no money left. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. I want your predictions, okay? Option number one, Kawhi Leonard. Is he back in Toronto or is he somewhere else?
Jordan, Kawhi Leonard should stay in Toronto. He just won the title. He's finals MVP, but he's not. He's going to L.A. And now the only question is he going to the Clippers or is he going to the Lakers? I don't know why all these reports lately have said Kawhi to the Lakers has been a very serious possibility. I think that would be terrible for everybody involved. But Kawhi's going back to L.A. I say Clippers, but don't be shocked if it's the Lakers.
You ever been in Toronto in February? Welcome to L.A. That's all I'm going to say. Kevin Durant, he's not going back to Golden State, so where do you see him going?
Wherever Golden State wants him to go, because here's what I've been hearing.
Oh.
Golden State is interested to sign him to the Supermax deal and do a sign and trade. That way, and it works for everybody because Kevin Durant could get more money by doing that. And then number two, the Warriors could get some type of compensation for Kevin Durant, because even though he's hurt, he's still Kevin Durant. And you hate to see somebody of that caliber leave your organization for nothing, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know what kind of compensation the Brooklyn Nets can give up, but I see Kevin Durant in Brooklyn or in the Garden with the Knicks some type of way. But I think it's via sign and trade.
If he goes to Brooklyn, is he teamed up with Kyrie Irving? Where's that guy going to go? He ain't going back to Boston.
He's not going back to Boston, and I don't think he's going to L.A. either. I think it has to be Brooklyn. For Kyrie, I think Kyrie, his front run is Brooklyn. I don't think he's as interested in the Knicks, but we'll see. All sides point to Kyrie in Brooklyn. They're a young franchise. Like you said a couple weeks ago, they got a brand-new arena. Well, more energized franchise. Excuse me, got young players. The Nets been around for a long time. Is this a more attractive place to play basketball? Kyrie's an East Coast guy. I think that's a good fit.
George Becknell, a little this, a little that. Talking NBA free agency. Everybody, of course, in this part of the world, interested in what the Pelicans are going to do. They've got money to spend. We've heard David Griffin say, I want some savvy veterans to fill in some spots that know how to play the game. There's a bunch of free agents over there in Milwaukee. Where do you see Griff going in Europe? If you had to be a prognosticator, where would you suggest?
If I'm looking at what David Griffin is looking at, I think he has to go. He has to go with some type of shooters. You know, I think he has to. He has to go with shooters. Maybe a Chris Middleton. Maybe what's the other guy? Jordan, what's the other guy? The guy that got hurt that was supposed to be really, really good. I'm drawing a blank from Milwaukee.
Brogdon? No.
Brogdon. That's what I'm thinking. So maybe one of those guys. You know, I don't think he. If you look at the way this roster's constructed, it has to be a shooter. That's the only thing you don't have. You got a good center in the draft. You got Drew Holiday, Lonzo Ball, probably the best defensive backcourt in basketball. You got Brandon Ingram. You know Zion is a freak of nature athlete. The only thing you don't have is shooters. You have to go get some shooters if you're David Griffin, and I think that's where he goes.
In a perfect world, yeah, I am with you on that one. George Becknell, kind enough to join. We'll find out. Do you think they have a deal in place at 5:01 on Sunday, or do you think we're going to be talking about this on Monday? Where are the Pelicans going? What's happening here?
I think they'll wait a little bit. I mean, it'll behoove them to wait, because you want to let those big boulders fall, right? Because everybody's kind of wide open, waiting to see what those big pieces do. You know, I don't think the Pelicans are in line to get like a max player, like a Kyrie or a Kawhi or somebody like that. We're not looking at that New Orleans. So you got to let those players kind of go where they're going to go. And then that second tier of guys, then you can kind of get a deal done. I don't think that you sign a deal too quickly.
Yeah, I'm with you. I saw this story and I got to share it with you, and I want your thoughts on it. Is this a made for? Is this a story made for movie land? A Russian man was found in a cave, described as corpse-like, after having his back broken by a bear, which was saving him to eat later. The man was discovered in a cave by some other people that were with their hunting dogs, and the dogs went up to this cave and kept barking, 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 barking. The guys go and look what's going on. They look in the cave and they look at what appears to be a mummy. The man was alive. The bear attacked this man, put him and threw him into his cave, sat on him, broke his spine, and then was saving to eat him at a later date. The man survived after 30 days in a cave with a bear watching over him. And then the bear would leave because the man couldn't move, couldn't go anywhere. So he was just sitting there for 30 days. I've never heard of anything like it.
Nah, I mean, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. You know, like, and how smart is this bear? It's like boiling crawfish, you know, like you got to keep all the crawfish alive before you put them in the pot. I guess the bear wanted the man alive. I don't know what's going on, but you know, all jokes aside, that's how do you make it 30 days in that type of situation, man? If you don't believe in the higher power to be that evident.
I mean, I guess the bear was using the den, getting all ready for hibernation. And he had saved this away. I'm gonna keep this away from any other bears. This is my cave. Can you imagine that man for 30 days? Golly! All right, enough of that.
Yeah, man, that must have been some pain.
Ooh, how about a shout out to Alex Bregman and DJ LeMahieu, two former Tigers, both starters for the American League in the upcoming July 9th All-Star Game. How about those studs?
Oh man, you know DJ LeMahieu, man. You're talking about a good ball player that kind of worked his way up. But Bregman, to me, Bregman's been a star, in my opinion, for a few years now. So both of these guys are real deserving. You know, I'm always a guy that loves to see my Tigers in the big leagues under the bright lights doing well. You know, I'm actually thinking about going to travel to see Mahmoud Abdul-Raouf in the Big Three, man. You been watching that?
You got to be kidding me. I'm not going to watch those old-timers try and play ball three-on-three with Ice Cube sitting down there and these goofball coaches going off. The glove, Gary Payton coaching them up. No, indeed.
Do you really want to watch that? Abdul-Raouf.
It's half court, man. It's not even half court. It's like
everybody fucking.
Sheesh. I'll go play the old tapes when he scored 50 on Florida and stuff like that. I don't want to see that. Sheesh. No. Anything on your plate to watch this weekend?
You know what, Jordan? I'm wide open, man. I don't have anything that I really want to see. I'm not sure when this 30 for 30 on Dennis Rodman is coming out that he announced, but I'm pretty sure that has to be pretty interesting.
Wow. Yeah, there's nothing that's catching my eye. This is one of those free weekends. Get out and get your honeydews in or go out and do something different. There'll be plenty of time to come for some sports-related activities. So until then, yeah. All right, so.
Put some meat on the grill, Jordan?
Yeah, well, of course. Absolutely. Chilling and grilling, my friend. Chilling and grilling. George, you have a great weekend, buddy, and we'll talk soon, man. Thanks so much.
You do the same. It's my pleasure.
All right,
thanks,
buddy. You take care. We'll continue the free agency talk. Henry Hayes will join us. That was George Becknell. This is the Jordy Hultberg Show on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com. We rolling on Friday, getting you ready for the weekend. We'll be right back.
Taking the hottest topics and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Hultberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back, Friday edition, the Jordy Hultberg Show, and boy, for NBA fans, basketball fans, Sunday at 5 p.m. is on the calendar. That is the start of the NBA free agency period. A lot of names out there, a lot of speculation. Where are they going to go? What are the Pelicans going to do? So before we head into it, let's get some predictions and some thoughts from one of our NBA analysts, my good friend, Mr. Henry Hayes, who joins us today. Henry, happy Friday, buddy. Could be a whirlwind come Sunday, buddy. Huh? How about that?
Well, we've never seen a period, Jordy, like this where 40% of the league is contractually up and you have earthquake movers like Kawhi Leonard, Kyrie Irving, right. Kevin Durant, you know, on and on down the line that really won't get anybody's guess who's in the driver's seat to begin next season. And you add to the fact that the dynasty that the Warriors have been for the last few years seems to be significantly halted, if not over. So it's a fascinating time to be a fan of the NBA.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's go. We've got some Hayes headlines. You got three of them. So let's start with number one. What's on the Hayes headlines heading into free agency?
So two are legit and one is really cheesy. I'm just warning you.
Save the cheesy for last.
Yes. So number one, Jordy, is going to be the NBA wins. I think that this is clear that now that this is if you turn on ESPN, all the hubbub, all the headlines we're seeing, this is more intriguing now than really the season. And in fact, game six of the NBA Finals was almost an afterthought, and now all the attention on the free agents is. This didn't used to be this way. When guys like you and I were watching this back in the 80s and 90s, Jordy, it was a foregone conclusion. So, NBA, massive, massive winner here. You know, so that's headline number one. My number two headline is, haters gonna hate. And here's why.
Okay.
The first 48 hours of this deal, this bonanza, Jordy, we're going to see spending like you haven't seen in a long time. And for casual or non-fans of the league, they'll say, wait a minute. A guy who's an 8-point, you know, career average guy is now making $18 million a year, and the answer is going to be yes, he is. So
amazing.
The haters are going to expect the egregious spending. Not to mention, look, NBA owners, they never got, these aren't the wisest guys when it comes to some of these big contracts. And I think you'll see a little panic in the market when some of these guys get swooped up. Because a lot of teams have cap space, we're going to see some deals that make you blush. And you're going to make Jordy Holberg get back on the driveway, see if he's got any more jumpers left in those elbows, and get him a one-year contract.
Oh, my God.
So, but the haters are going to hate on these contracts. Remember, these are all guaranteed. This isn't like the NFL where you can cut a guy. So, yeah, that's going to happen. And the third one, and my favorite.
All right, the cheesy one. Here we go.
The front page of every Canadian newspaper. Quit your Kawhi-ing. Because I do not believe that he is coming back to the Toronto Raptors. And so I think that that's going to be on the front page, and I think they should be prepared.
Henry Hayes, kind enough to join. I got a great idea. The NBA draft draws so well. There's got to be a way when they televise free agency. And instead of the commissioner coming up and saying, with the number one pick, he comes up and says, Kawhi Leonard of the Toronto Raptors, and the decision is in. And Kawhi walks up and he says, I'm going to spend my next 3 or 4 years playing for the whoever. I think that would be a television ratings bonanza. They got to figure out a way to put free agency on television. Why not?
I agree with you, but here's the problem, Jordy, and this goes back to what you know in all those years and games you were on the sidelines. Look, this idea that this tampering rule in the NBA is the biggest joke in any professional sport because, A, every club does it. B, the only time they get mad are when they get on the losing end of a player they wanted. That's why at 12:01 you're going to start to hear, or 5 p.m. rather, right. All these deals are done. And it's like, well, hold on a second. How can they be done if the window just opened?
That's right.
Right? I'll give you a great example. The Horford situation. So it comes out that, you know, Horford's leaving Boston. Well, why do you think that is? It's because Al Horford has a handshake deal and his agent knows exactly where he's going for exactly how much money. And he's not the only
one. Right.
So, you know, that's the only impediment to your idea, Jordy, of I love it. I think it would be a ratings bonanza, but, you know, these deals are already done, most of them.
I know. All right. Well, there's the headline, so I'm going to get down to the nitty-gritty. You came out and said, quit your quying, Toronto. So Kawhi Leonard, I think everyone's number one choice because of the injury of Kevin Durant and the uncertainty of the mindset of a Kyrie Irving. But what Kawhi Leonard did in a one-year term that – Masai Ujiri took the chance on, and, man, that kind of set the table for everything, I think. Everybody's going, well, if they could do it for 1 year, hey, 1 year's better than no year. So where does Kawhi end up?
Yeah, there's another piece of that I want to get to in a moment, Jordy. But my gut, and again, listen, here's the thing. Nobody knows. This guy, my new nickname for him, he is the Greta Garbo of the NBA. He doesn't talk. Yep. And guess what, Jordy?
But he performs.
He does, but there's not a posse. There's not a college coach. There's not an agent. This guy's a ghost. And I think really it's got a lot of folks wondering and scratching their head. So, again, the way I read the tea leaves and just what I think he's going to be a Los Angeles Clipper.
He's going to give Toronto the last chance to – and, look, Toronto can't do anything more.
Yeah.
Other than give him ownership, part ownership of the team, they have done everything imaginable. They didn't make him play every game. They rested him. He came in the playoffs. They went and got Gasol for the stretch run. They did everything they could, and he delivered a championship. Can Toronto Raptor fans burn his jersey in effigy if he leaves? Or
absolutely
did he do enough
not.
To make them happy?
No, I think absolutely not. Look, first of all, it had been a long time. The Toronto Blue Jays were the last champion, really, for Canada. That was, I think it was 25 years ago.
Yeah.
So they
Carter,
were starved.
Boom.
Yeah, and so, no, look, man, he did what they asked him to do.
Right.
Look, Jordy, this is what I want to explore with you for a second. This all boils down to choice. And this is a much bigger, more interesting issue than I think most people are, because it's not as sexy to talk about. But listen, don't lose the fact that Kawhi Leonard won here. He forced his way out of what most people thought was the most stable, well-run franchise in the league in the San Antonio Spurs. Okay,
that's
out of
correct.
The blue. He won. He got traded, and he's gonna get to make his choice. Anthony Davis, same thing. He won. He wanted to go to the Lakers. He's on the Lakers.
Yep. That's right.
So this idea that, however fans felt about it, pull that out of it. If you don't think that we're going to see more of this, you're not paying attention.
No,
because
you're
those
right.
guys won. Now, here's a little difference. Those two players we just mentioned are, when healthy, the top five in the league, if not top three. So, I'm not expecting Malcolm Brogdon to do this to the Milwaukee Bucks.
Exactly.
And I do think we'll probably see someone stub their toe in this same approach. But don't think it's not coming. And, Jordy, here's the other thing. And I've had these quiet conversations with the guys that I'm networked with. Despite the fact that the league has never been healthier, TV ratings are good, the contract's really, really good, every team, the value of the teams have gone way, way up. The owners are not happy. Why? Because this is a players league. You wouldn't see what we're about to see on Sunday ever happen in the NFL. You wouldn't see that in baseball either.
That's
and
right.
where I think that's going to rear its head, the owners can opt out of the current CBA at the end of the 2022-23 season. I think they will.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think we're headed for a change because – look, I think LeBron, it's safe to say that LeBron James is behind a lot of this. Hey, he's playing within the rules. More power to him. But don't for one second think that the owners like this. These are billionaires getting told what to do by millionaires. And so it's just something to keep an eye on, and I'm fascinated by that, but that's coming.
Oh, it is coming. There's no question about that. And look, I'm not so sure regional television markets are all that healthy as well. That's why there's talk about maybe reducing the schedule. I love the talk of play-in for the playoffs. I love that. I don't understand the in-the-middle playing for some kind of a cup or whatever. I don't get that aspect of it. But changes are coming. There's no question about that because, one, the NBA, for all that maybe people love football and love baseball, no league is more progressive and more forward-thinking. They don't think in the here and now. They think in 10 years from now. How are we going to survive, sustain, and improve and continue this thing? So that's what sets them apart in my mind. Henry Hayes joining us. You talked about Kawhi going to the Clippers. The next name I want to ask you about is Kevin Durant. He opted out of Golden State for that 31.5 final year of his contract. Where do you see KD going next?
Yeah, what a fascinating story, right? A guy who is really just experienced, really probably the toughest injury you can as a professional basketball player. I mean, especially a guy like that who's so much of his game comes from his feet and his ability to move. And yet, all 30 teams would line up around the block to give him a max deal. It's fascinating.
Yeah.
So having said that, I still feel that Team Durant is not completely copacetic with the Warriors in terms of maybe making him feel a little more settled than he should have on that leg.
So I think he leaves Golden State, and I think he heads for New York. I think at the end of the day, he's a Knick. And I'm still not completely sure why, Jordy, to be frank. You know, whether it's the fact that, look, Durant wanted to get the title, which he has under his belt. Got two NBA Finals MVPs. So that's on the resume. So now I think he may want to say, can he carry his team by himself in the twilight of his career? So I think he ends up there. But ironically, they'll pay him $33 million to rehab. And I think it's – look, we saw Boogie. This is not a year injury. I think this is a 16-month minimum to really get back to – and you're talking, again, when he was healthy, you could argue he's the best player in the world. So I think it's a New York Knick.
All right. The team that the Knicks thought they would get alongside with Kevin Durant is Kyrie Irving, a guy that never seems to be happy, ultra-skilled, but doesn't seem to have chemistry with any teammate that he's around. Boston has kind of said, we understand you're leaving. Rumors have it rampant that he's going to New York, but he's going to Brooklyn. Where do you see Kyrie Irving ending up?
Yeah, and I think that's right. I think it is the Brooklyn Nets. You're going to hear flirtations that he would, re-team up with LeBron James. I don't think that's going to happen. And Jordy, this guy's a wild card, man. I think be careful, Brooklyn, because I think worst case scenario for them is that he goes there and is the guy. Because look, we just saw this, right? He leaves Cleveland because he wants to kind of get out of LeBron's shadow and wants his own team. Okay, well, you got that, and it did not work out in spectacular fashion. So. You know, I've never liked his game. I'm not a fan. But Brooklyn's going to back up the Brinks truck, and I think he will be there. Now, what else they do, you know, we'll see. But I think it's the Brooklyn Nets for Irving.
All right. Here's another name that kind of under the radar, but, boy, he can play. And I think this is the third piece to the puzzle to the Lakers. Kemba Walker. What do you think?
So Kemba Walker, like you said, kind of a guy who's not really on the front page because he plays in Charlotte, which is arguably the worst team in the league, Phoenix or Charlotte. Poorly run, doesn't get attacks. So just kind of an NBA wasteland. I think Jordan ends up in Boston. I think that Ainge knew when they let Horford walk, I think Ainge is banking on the fact that year three of Jason Tatum has got to be better. That Jaylen Brown did not play well with Kyrie, and that you get a better Jaylen Brown year three. And then you really cross your fingers and hope Gordon Hayward is more like Utah Gordon Hayward than, when he really screwed up his ankle. And you add Kemba to a team that in the Eastern Conference, you think you could probably still be a top four seed. So I think he's going to go to Boston. I think he played his college basketball at UConn, as you know, knows the area. Say another team, though, that I would not sleep on in that regard of the Dallas Mavericks. I think there's a lot of interest there, but I think when it's all said and done, Kemba Walker is a Boston Celtic.
And finally, the Pelicans. Do they have a deal in place at 5:01 on Sunday, or is this going to be a long, drawn-out thing with them?
I don't think they do, Jordan, and here's why. We've seen this many, many times. If you go historically on these markets, what happens is there's an egregious overspend, and it's in the first usually 12 to 24 hours. Right. I think a guy like Griffin is smart enough to know that if he lays in the cut and watches the big money hit the market, they're not going to get, nor do they want, a Kyrie Irving or a Tobias Harris. Any of these guys who are going to get max deals that should not get max deals, I don't think they have any interest in that. A, because of the makeup of the team, and B, the timing of the team. This team isn't ready to make a title run yet. So I think he waits, and I think then he pounces on some really good value deals. Like, look, last year he wasn't here, but the Randle deal was a really good deal for the Pelicans. 2 years, playoff year for the second year. They paid him 9.5. I think that's what you'll see. I think, fingers crossed, he hopes that maybe Lopez is the odd man out in Milwaukee. They choose Middleton and Brogdon first, and you might be able to get him. So I think it's a collection of veterans. And that's the other thing with the Pels here, Jordy. Griffin not so subtly let you know that they're on the hunt for savvy veterans now.
Yes.
And he really values that voice in the locker room. Look, you know as well as I do, having roamed the sidelines, three rookies on rookie deals sounds great. It's fun around the draft, but very few coaches and general managers already like that because there's a lot of learning that needs to go on. And so I think if you're a David Griffin, you're looking for a Danny Green, even a Tyson Chandler type, maybe not him as a player, but a guy who's won, knows how to handle his business and can mentor these guys and teach them how to be professionals. So I think the Pelicans lay in the cut for about 36 hours, and then they make their moves.
Quick quiet, Toronto. Henry Hayes, enjoy the weekend. Thank you, my friend. Take care.
Okay, George.
Be good. That's Henry Hayes. We'll take a timeout, back with more here on the Jordy Helpert Show, Friday style.
D-U-C-T-S. Never play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Helpert Show. Live and local. 103.7 The Game.
All right, welcome back. What a week it's been. My goodness. Next week is 4th of July holiday. Oh, yeah, looking forward to that. Let's do a little daily history lesson, and this one is for my producer extraordinaire, Clint Domain. We go back June 28th, the year 1998. All right, you ready for this one, Clint? Here we go. At the King of the Ring, Undertaker tossed Mankind off the top of the cell and onto the announcer's table to their Hell in a Cell match. I don't care how fake it is, you throw somebody that high to that, that's got to hurt. The Undertaker, one of the scariest. If he's coming down the street, I'm going to the other side of the street. I don't want to look at that man. That's a scary dude. Undertaker took care of Mankind, 1998, at the King of the Ring. Just in honor of my hardworking producer and the host of Under the Dome on Saturdays, Mr. Clint Domain. If today is your birthday, June 28th, what a special day. What a special day. We hope you have a great one the rest of the day and into the evening. And if you like the people in my family, the birthday goes for a week, right? It just goes on and on and on. It's a celebration of a week time event. Anyway, you share with the likes of 47-year-old Elon Musk. Happy 92nd birthday. What a genius and what a comedian, Mel Brooks. All right. From Hollywood as well, John Cusack is 52 in the world of sports. Great quarterback. I don't know how he is in picking quarterbacks to run his franchise, but happy 58th birthday to John Elway. And a guy I thought might be coming to the Pelicans, but no, they're not going down that route. Happy 25th birthday to shooter extraordinaire Bradley Beal from Florida and now the Washington Wizards. Maybe Griff pulls a rabbit out of the hat. I don't know. I just don't think so. I just don't think so. All right. Special thanks to our guests today, Henry Hayes, George Becknell, and the terrific Jeff Duncan, whose time at the Times-Picayune and NOLA.com has come to an end. So many of great writers for years and years and years. Nothing lasts forever, but the memories of them will last forever. No question about it. All right. Monday, we'll kind of recap the beginning of the frenzy of NBA free agency and get you ready for the 4th of July, whichever direction the river takes us. We'll figure it out. Clint, thanks so much for everything all week long. Thanks to all of you for listening, however you may find us. And thanks to our partners that make it possible each and every day. Couldn't do it without you. Have a great rest of your Friday and even better weekend. Come on back Monday, same time, 2 to 4, same great station, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. Until then, I'm Jordy Helpert. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty.